Intention, translated by Bhikkhu Sujato. Intention. Mendicants, as long as there's a body, the intention that gives rise to bodily action causes pleasure and pain to arise in oneself. As long as there's a voice, the intention that gives rise to verbal action causes pleasure and pain to arise in oneself. As long as there's a mind, the intention that gives rise to mental action causes pleasure and pain to arise in oneself. But these only apply when conditioned by ignorance. By oneself, one makes the choice that gives rise to bodily, verbal, and mental action, conditioned by which that pleasure and pain arise in oneself. Or else others make the choice that gives rise to bodily, verbal, and mental action, conditioned by which that pleasure and pain arise in oneself. Or else one consciously makes the choice that gives rise to bodily, verbal, and mental action, conditioned by which that pleasure and pain arise in oneself. Or else one unconsciously makes the choice that gives rise to bodily, verbal, and mental action, conditioned by which that pleasure and pain arise in oneself. Ignorance is included in all these things. But when ignorance fades away and ceases with nothing left over, there is no body and no voice and no mind conditioned by which that pleasure and pain arise in oneself. There is no field, no ground, no scope, and no basis conditioned by which that pleasure and pain arise in oneself. Mendicants, there are four kinds of reincarnation. What for? There is a reincarnation where one's own intention is effective, not that of others. There is a reincarnation where the intention of others is effective, not one's own. There is a reincarnation where both one's own and others' intentions are effective. There is a reincarnation where neither one's own nor others' intentions are effective. These are the four kinds of reincarnation. When he said this, Venerable Sariputta said to the Buddha, Sir, this is how I understand the detailed meaning of the Buddha's brief statement. Take the case of the reincarnation where one's own intention is effective, not that of others. Those sentient beings pass away from that realm due to their own intention. Take the case of the reincarnation where the intention of others is effective, not one's own. Those sentient beings pass away from that realm due to the intention of others. Take the case of the reincarnation where both one's own and others' intentions are effective. Those sentient beings pass away from that realm due to both their own and others' intentions. But, sir, in the case of the reincarnation where neither one's own nor others' intentions are effective, what kind of gods does this refer to? Sariputta, it refers to the gods reborn in the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception. What is the cause, sir? What is the reason why some sentient beings pass away from that realm as returners who come back to this state of existence, while others are non-returners who don't come back? Sariputta, take a person who hasn't given up the lower fetters. In the present life, they enter and abide in the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception. They enjoy it and like it and find it satisfying. If they abide in that, are committed to it, and meditate on it often without losing it, when they die, they're reborn in the company of the gods of the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception. When they pass away from there, they're a returner, who comes back to this state of existence. Sariputta, take a person who has given up the lower fetters. In the present life they enter and abide in the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception. They enjoy it, and like it, and find it satisfying. If they abide in that, are committed to it, and meditate on it often without losing it, when they die, they're reborn in the company of the gods of the dimension of neither perception nor non-perception. When they pass away from there, they're a non-returner, not coming back to this state of existence. This is the cause, This is the reason why some sentient beings pass away from that realm as returners who come back to this state of existence, while others are non-returners who don't come back. Sariputta's attainment of textual analysis. There Sariputta addressed the mendicants. "Reverence, mendicants." "Reverend," they replied. Sariputta said this: "Reverends, I realized the textual analysis of the meaning, piece by piece and expression by expression, a fortnight after I ordained. In many ways I explain, teach, assert, establish, clarify, analyze, and reveal it. Whoever has any doubt or uncertainty, let them ask me. I will answer. Our teacher is present, he who is so very skilled in our teachings. I realized the textual analysis of the text, piece by piece and expression by expression, a fortnight after I ordained. I realized the textual analysis of terminology, piece by piece and expression by expression, a fortnight after I ordained. I realized the textual analysis of eloquence, piece by piece and expression by expression, a fortnight after I ordained. In many ways I explain, teach, assert, establish, clarify, analyze, and reveal it. If anyone has any doubt or uncertainty, let them ask me. I will answer. Our teacher is present, he who is so very skilled in our teachings." With Mahakatitta. Then Venerable Mahakatitta went up to Venerable Sariputta and exchanged greetings with him. When the greetings and polite conversation were over, Mahakatitta sat down to one side and said to Sariputta, "Reverend, when the six fields of contact have faded away and ceased with nothing left over, does something else exist?" "Don't put it like that, Reverend." "Does nothing else exist?" "Don't put it like that, Reverend." "Do both something else and nothing else exist?" "Don't put it like that, Reverend." "Do neither something else nor nothing else exist?" "Don't put it like that, Reverend." "Reverend, when asked whether, when the six fields of contact have faded away and ceased with nothing left over, something else exists, you say, 'Don't put it like that.' When asked whether nothing else exists, you say, 'Don't put it like that.' When asked whether both something else and nothing else exist, you say, 'Don't put it like that.' When asked whether neither something else nor nothing else exist, you say, 'Don't put it like that.' How then should we see the meaning of this statement? If you say that, when the six fields of contact have faded away and ceased with nothing left over, something else exists, you're proliferating the unproliferated. If you say that nothing else exists, you're proliferating the unproliferated. If you say that both something else and nothing else exist, you're proliferating the unproliferated. If you say that neither something else nor nothing else exists, you're proliferating the unproliferated. The scope of proliferation extends as far as the scope of the six fields of contact. The scope of the six fields of contact extends as far as the scope of proliferation. When the six fields of contact fade away and cease with nothing left over, proliferation stops and is stilled. With Ananda. Then Venerable Ananda went up to Venerable Mahakatitta and exchanged greetings with him. When the greetings and polite conversation were over, Ananda sat down to one side and said to Mahakatitta, "Reverend, when these six fields of contact have faded away and ceased with nothing left over, does anything else exist?" "Don't put it like that, Reverend." "Does nothing else exist?" "Don't put it like that, Reverend." "Do both something else and nothing else exist?" "Don't put it like that, Reverend." "Do neither something else nor nothing else exist?" "Don't put it like that, Reverend." "Reverend, when asked these questions, you say, 'Don't put it like that.' How then should we see the meaning of this statement? If you say that when the six fields of contact have faded away and ceased with nothing left over, something else exists, you're proliferating the unproliferated. If you say that nothing else exists, you're proliferating the unproliferated. If you say that both something else and nothing else exist, you're proliferating the unproliferated. If you say that neither something else nor nothing else exist, you're proliferating the unproliferated. The scope of proliferation extends as far as the scope of the six fields of contact. The scope of the six fields of contact extends as far as the scope of proliferation. When the six fields of contact fade away and cease with nothing left over, proliferation stops and is stilled. With Upawana. Then Venerable Upawana went up to Venerable Sariputta and exchanged greetings with him. When the greetings and polite conversation were over, Upawana sat down to one side and said to Sariputta, "Reverend Sariputta, do you become a terminator because of knowledge?"
"That's not it, Reverend."
"Do you become a terminator because of conduct?"
"That's not it, Reverend."
"Do you become a terminator because of both knowledge and conduct?"
"That's not it, Reverend."
"Do you become a terminator for some reason other than knowledge and conduct?"
"That's not it, Reverend."
"Reverend Sariputta, when asked whether you become a terminator because of knowledge or conduct, or knowledge and conduct, or for some other reason, you say, 'That's not it.' How then do you become a terminator?"
"Reverend, if you became a terminator because of knowledge, then even someone who still has grasping could be a terminator.
If you became a terminator because of conduct, then even someone who still has grasping could be a terminator. If you became a terminator because of both knowledge and conduct, then even someone who still has grasping could be a terminator. If you became a terminator for some other reason other than knowledge and conduct, then even an ordinary person could be a terminator. For an ordinary person lacks knowledge and conduct. Reverend, someone lacking good conduct does not know and see things as they are. Someone accomplished in good conduct knows and sees things as they are. Knowing and seeing things as they are, one is a terminator." Aspiration. Mendicants, a faithful monk would rightly aspire, "May I be like Sariputta and Moggallana. These are a standard and a measure for my monk disciples, that is, Sariputta and Moggallana." A faithful nun would rightly aspire, "May I be like the nuns Kima and Upalawanya. These are a standard and a measure for my nun disciples, that is, the nuns Kima and Upalawanya." A faithful layman would rightly aspire, "May I be like the householder Chitta and Hataka of Alawi. These are a standard and a measure for my male lay disciples, that is, the householder Chitta and Hataka of Alawi." A faithful laywoman would rightly aspire, "May I be like the laywomen Kujutara and Welukantaki, Nanda's mother. These are a standard and a measure for my female lay disciples, that is, the laywomen Kujutara and Welukantaki, Nanda's mother." With Rahula. Then Venerable Rahula went up to the Buddha, bowed and sat down to one side. The Buddha said to him, "Rahula, the interior earth element and the exterior earth element are just the earth element. This should be truly seen with right understanding like this. This is not mine. I am not this. This is not myself. When you truly see with right understanding, you reject the earth element, detaching the mind from the earth element. The interior water element and the exterior water element are just the water element. This should be truly seen with right understanding like this. This is not mine. I am not this. This is not myself.
When you truly see with right understanding, you reject the water element, detaching the mind from the water element. The interior fire element and the exterior fire element are just the fire element. This should be truly seen with right understanding like this. This is not mine. I am not this. This is not myself. When you truly see with right understanding, you reject the fire element, detaching the mind from the fire element. The interior air element and the exterior air element are just the air element. This should be truly seen with right understanding like this. This is not mine. I am not this. This is not myself. When you truly see with right understanding, you reject the air element, detaching the mind from the air element. When a mendicant sees these four elements as neither self nor belonging to self, they're called a mendicant who has cut off craving, untied the fetters, and by rightly comprehending conceit, has made an end of suffering. Billabong. Mendicants, these four people are found in the world. What for? Take a mendicant who enters and remains in a peaceful release of the heart. They focus on the cessation of identification, but their mind isn't eager, confident, settled, and decided about it. You wouldn't expect that mendicant to stop identifying. Suppose a person were to grab a branch with a glue-smeared hand. Their hand would stick, hold, and bind to it. In the same way, take a mendicant who enters and remains in a peaceful release of the heart. They focus on the cessation of identification, but their mind isn't eager, confident, settled, and decided about it. You wouldn't expect that mendicant to stop identifying. Next, take a mendicant who enters and remains in a peaceful release of the heart. They focus on the cessation of identification and their mind is eager, confident, settled, and decided about it. You'd expect that mendicant to stop identifying. Suppose a person were to grab a branch with a clean hand. Their hand wouldn't stick, hold, or bind to it. In the same way, take a mendicant who enters and remains in a peaceful release of the heart. They focus on the cessation of identification, and their mind is eager, confident, settled, and decided about it. You'd expect that mendicant to stop identifying. Next, take a mendicant who enters and remains in a peaceful release of the heart. They focus on smashing ignorance, but their mind isn't eager, confident, settled, and decided about it. You wouldn't expect that mendicant to smash ignorance. Suppose there was a billabong that had been stagnant for many years, and someone was to close off the inlets and open up the drains, and the heavens didn't provide enough rain. You wouldn't expect that billabong to break its banks. In the same way, take a mendicant who enters and remains in a certain peaceful release of the heart. They focus on smashing ignorance, but their mind isn't eager, confident, settled, and decided about it. You wouldn't expect that mendicant to smash ignorance. Next, take a mendicant who enters and remains in a peaceful release of the heart. They focus on smashing ignorance, and their mind is eager, confident, settled, and decided about it. You'd expect that mendicant to smash ignorance. Suppose there was a billabong that had been stagnant for many years, and someone was to open up the inlets and close off the drains, and the heavens provided plenty of rain. You'd expect that billabong to break its banks. In the same way, take a mendicant who enters and remains in a certain peaceful release of the heart. They focus on smashing ignorance, and their mind is eager, confident, settled, and decided about it. You'd expect that mendicant to smash ignorance. These are the four people found in the world. Extinguishment. Then Venerable Ananda went up to Venerable Sariputta and exchanged greetings with him. When the greetings and polite conversation were over, Ananda sat down to one side and said to Sariputta, "What is the cause, Reverend Sariputta? What is the reason why some sentient beings aren't fully extinguished in the present life?" "Reverend Ananda, it's because some sentient beings don't really understand which perceptions make things worse, which keep things steady, which lead to distinction, and which lead to penetration. That's the cause, that's the reason why some sentient beings aren't fully extinguished in the present life." "What is the cause, Reverend Sariputta? What is the reason why some sentient beings are fully extinguished in the present life?" "Reverend Ananda, it's because some sentient beings truly understand which perceptions make things worse, which keep things steady, which lead to distinction, and which lead to penetration. That's the cause, that's the reason why some sentient beings are fully extinguished in the present life." The Four Great References. At one time, the Buddha was staying near the city of Boga at the Ananda Tree Shrine. There the Buddha addressed the mendicants. "Mendicants? Venerable sir," they replied. The Buddha said this: "Mendicants, I will teach you the four great references. Listen and pay close attention. I will speak." "Yes, sir," they replied. The Buddha said this: "Mendicants, what are the four great references?" "Take a mendicant who says, 'Reverend, I have heard and learned this in the presence of the Buddha. This is the teaching, this is the monastic law, this is the teacher's instruction.' You should neither approve nor dismiss that mendicant's statement. Instead, you should carefully memorize those words and phrases, then check if they're included in the discourses and found in the monastic law. If they're not included in the discourses and found in the monastic law, you should draw the conclusion, 'Clearly this is not the word of the Blessed One, the Perfected One, the fully awakened Buddha. It has been incorrectly memorized by that mendicant, and so you should reject it.' Take another mendicant who says, 'Reverend, I have heard and learned this in the presence of the Buddha. This is the teaching, this is the monastic law, this is the teacher's instruction.' You should neither approve nor dismiss that mendicant's statement. Instead, you should carefully memorize those words and phrases, then check if they're included in the discourses and found in the monastic law. If they are included in the discourses and found in the monastic law, you should draw the conclusion, 'Clearly, this is the word of the Blessed One, the Perfected One, the fully awakened Buddha. It has been correctly memorized by that mendicant.' You should remember it. This is the first great reference." Take another mendicant who says, "In such and such a monastery lives a Sangha with seniors and leaders. I've heard and learned this in the presence of that Sangha. This is the teaching. This is the monastic law. This is the teacher's instruction. You should neither approve nor dismiss that mendicant statement. Instead, you should carefully memorize those words and phrases, then check if they're included in the discourses or found in the monastic law. If they're not included in the discourses or found in the monastic law, you should draw the conclusion, 'Clearly this is not the word of the Blessed One, the Perfected One, the fully awakened Buddha. It has been incorrectly memorized by that Sangha, and so you should reject it.' Take another mendicant who says, 'In such and such a monastery lives a Sangha with seniors and leaders. I've heard and learned this in the presence of that Sangha. This is the teaching, this is the monastic law, this is the teacher's instruction.' You should neither approve nor dismiss that mendicant's statement. Instead, you should carefully memorize those words and phrases, then check if they're included in the discourses or found in the monastic law. If they are included in the discourses and found in the monastic law, you should draw the conclusion, 'Clearly, this is the word of the Blessed One, the Perfected One, the fully awakened Buddha. It has been correctly memorized by that Sangha. You should remember it. This is the second great reference." Take another mendicant who says, in such and such a monastery there are several senior mendicants who are very learned, knowledgeable in the scriptures, who remember the teachings, the monastic law, and the outlines. I've heard and learned this in the presence of those senior mendicants. This is the teaching, this is the monastic law, this is the teacher's instruction. You should neither approve nor dismiss that mendicant's statement. Instead, you should carefully memorize those words and phrases, then check if they're included in the discourses or found in the monastic law. If they're not included in the discourses or found in the monastic law, you should draw the conclusion, clearly this is not the word of the Blessed One, the Perfected One, the fully awakened Buddha. It has been incorrectly memorized by those senior mendicants, and so you should reject it. Take another mendicant who says, in such and such a monastery, there are several senior mendicants who are very learned, knowledgeable in the scriptures, who remember the teachings, the monastic law, and the outlines. I've heard and learned this in the presence of those senior mendicants. This is the teaching, this is the monastic law, this is the teacher's instruction. You should neither approve nor dismiss that mendicant's statement. Instead, you should carefully memorize those words and phrases, then check if they're included in the discourses and found in the monastic law. If they are included in the discourses and found in the monastic law, you should draw the conclusion, clearly, this is the word of the Blessed One, the Perfected One, the fully awakened Buddha. It has been correctly memorized by those senior mendicants. You should remember it. This is the third great reference. Take another mendicant who says, in such and such a monastery, there is a single senior mendicant who is very learned and knowledgeable in the scriptures, who has memorized the teachings, the monastic law, and the outlines. I've heard and learned this in the presence of that senior mendicant. This is the teaching, this is the monastic law, this is the teacher's instruction. You should neither approve nor dismiss that mendicant's statement. Instead, you should carefully memorize those words and phrases, then check if they're included in the discourses and found in the monastic law. If they're not included in the discourses or found in the monastic law, you should draw the conclusion, clearly this is not the word of the Blessed One, the Perfected One, the fully awakened Buddha. It has been incorrectly memorized by that senior mendicant, and so you should reject it. Take another mendicant who says, in such and such a monastery there is a single senior mendicant who is very learned and knowledgeable in the scriptures, who has memorized the teachings, the monastic law, and the outlines. I've heard and learned this in the presence of that senior mendicant. This is the teaching, this is the monastic law, this is the teacher's instruction. You should neither approve nor dismiss that mendicant's statement. Instead, you should carefully memorize those words and phrases, then check if they're included in the discourses and found in the monastic law. If they are included in the discourses and found in the monastic law, you should draw the conclusion, clearly this is the word of the Blessed One, the Perfected One, the fully awakened Buddha. It has been correctly memorized by that senior mendicant. You should remember it. This is the fourth great reference. These are the four great references.